Okay, let's unpack this. Have you ever really thought about what goes on behind the scenes to keep a city running smoothly, beyond the headlines and the political debates?
Right, what truly underpins a community's financial health?
Exactly. Especially in a place known for, well, its vibrant university life and a real commitment to public service. Today, we're taking a deep dive into just that. We're heading to Stillwater, Oklahoma. It's a city, what, over 40,000 people in north central Oklahoma?
Yep, and famously home to Oklahoma State University.
And we've got our hands on their comprehensive annual financial report from 2012, plus the Stillwater Medical Center Authority's 2012 financial statements.
It's a quite a stack of sources. Might seem dense at first glance.
Right. Looks like just numbers, but they're absolutely packed with fascinating nuggets, actually.
Yeah, and what's fascinating here is that these aren't just dry numbers, like you said.
Yeah.
Our mission for this deep dive is really to extract the most important insights, help you understand the economic conditions shaping Stillwater, see how the city manages its diverse operations, and really uncover the financial health of key institutions like their medical center.
So it's like a shortcut to being well-informed about the fiscal backbone of a thriving community.
Exactly. And it raises an important question, I think. What can we learn about how a city truly sustains itself from these kinds of detailed reports?
Okay, so let's start with Stillwater's core identity, its structure.
Lay the groundwork.
Yeah. It's a municipal corporation established way back in 1891, so it's got history.
Definitely.
And since 1960, when they adopted their charter, it's operated under a council-manager form of government.
Right, the classic model.
So what that means for you listening is that the policymaking, the legislative authority, rests with a five-member council.
Okay.
The mayor is elected at large and serves alongside four other councilors. Importantly, it's nonpartisan, and they serve staggered three-year terms.
That staggering helps with continuity, right?
Exactly. Geographically, we're talking about 28 square miles, and it really serves as a regional center, for shopping, entertainment, healthcare, education, for all of Payne County.
Okay, so moving on to the economic engine of Stillwater. The reports, they tell you a really interesting picture. They talk about its diverse economy with a high degree of stability.
Which is pretty impressive considering the economic downturns around that time.
It really is. And no surprise, Oklahoma State University, OSU, is the city's largest employer. Huge anchor.
Can't overstate that, I bet.
No. And you also have other big governmental and educational centers, like the Oklahoma Department of Career and Technology Education, Meridian Technology Center.
So a lot of public sector weight.
A lot. State and local government sectors account for roughly 45% of the local wage and salary jobs. That's almost half.
Wow.
And here's some positive indicators for the listener, things that really matter day to day. Stillwater's cost of living, it stays well below the state and U.S. average.
That's a big plus.
Huge. And unemployment is consistently among the lowest. It actually decreased from 5.9% to 5.1% in 2012.
So pretty resilient economically.
Very resilient. Seems built on that stable government and education base. They found a formula, it seems.
And here's where it gets really interesting, I think. OSU's broader impact.
Beyond just being the big employer.
Way beyond. Their master plan 2025, okay, this is back in 2012 planning, but it outlined expansion projects exceeding $800 million.
$800 million, that's massive investment.
And get this, those projects were projected to generate a $1.2 billion economic impact on the Stillwater area.
Wow, that ripple effect is enormous.
Staggering, right? Money flowing into local businesses, jobs, you name it. And some of that was already happening, like the student union renovations finished in 2012.
Tangible results.
And they also had this huge fundraising campaign, Branding Success, the campaign for Oklahoma State University, a $1 billion goal.
A billion for scholarships, faculty, research facilities.
And they'd already committed $900 million towards it then, including a massive $100 million testamentary challenge gift from T. Boone Pickens.
Wow, Pickens. Big name. Big impact.
So all this energy, academic and financial, it clearly spills over. The reports show a slight increase in building permits, commercial and single-family homes from 2011 to 2012.
A sign of confidence.
And residential property values held steady, which, again, during that period was a really good sign.
Definitely.
So with all this activity, all this growth, the big question is, how does Stillwater actually manage all this financially? They provide a full range of municipal services.
Right, the whole spectrum.
Everything, public safety, police, fire, civil defense, streets, sewers, sanitation, general government stuff, even the airport.
It's a lot to juggle. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, their financial structure is key. They use this concept of a financial reporting entity.
Okay, break that down.
Think of it like the city's money isn't just one giant pot. It's carefully sorted. You got the primary government, that's the city itself.
Got it.
And then you have component units. Some are blended component units. These are legally separate, technically, but they function like they're part of the main city operations.
Like who?
That's your Stillwater Utilities Authority, SUA, the Stillwater Industrial and Redevelopment Authority, SIRA, and the Stillwater Public Works Authority, SPWA.
Okay, blended in.
Pretty much. Then there's a discreetly presented component unit. In this case, the Stillwater Medical Center Authority, SMCA.
Ah, the hospital we mentioned?
Exactly. Hmm. Legally separate, operates on its own, but the city is financially accountable for it. It's a public trust. The city's the beneficiary.
So how do they keep track of all these different pots of money?
Through a fund accounting system.
Yeah.
Basically, separate bank accounts for separate purposes. You've got governmental funds.
Like the general fund for everyday stuff.
Right. General fund, transportation improvement fund, special revenue funds like for federal grants, debt service fund for paying off loans, capital project funds for big builds like the police station.
Yeah.
And then you have proprietary funds. These operate more like businesses, charging fees.
Utilities, the airport.
Exactly. Enterprise funds like the SUA, airport, SRA, and internal service funds like SBWA, which handles things internally. This separation isn't just red tape. It's necessary for legal reasons and managing diverse operations efficiently.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, diving deeper, how do they ensure the money's handled properly? They talk about their internal control structure.
Yeah, that's crucial. Management sees they believe these controls adequately safeguard assets and ensure proper recording.
Which is, a fundamental part of good governance. Prevents misuse.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And related to that is their budgetary control. It sounds like they have a pretty tight ship.
How so?
Well, they maintain control of the character classification level. And expenditures, they say, may not legally exceed appropriations at the category levels for each department.
So no overspending your budget category. Strict discipline.
Seems like it. Budgets are legally adopted, can't be amended, but any unencumbered appropriations just lapse at year end.
Meaning you can't just hoard money for next year. Use it or lose it, basically.
Right. Keeps things focused on the current year's needs. Then there's risk management. Stillwater actually started a self-insurance program back in 1986.
Self-insurance, instead of buying from big companies.
Yeah, for things like vehicle liability, general liability, property damage. They cited their low loss experience compared to high premiums. Basically, they figured it was cheaper to cover losses themselves.
Smart move if your track record is good.
And they already had a base for it, since workers' comp and unemployment were already self-insured. There's a control, though. Claims over $10,000 need city council approval.
Okay, oversight for larger amounts.
And they also self-fund their employee health benefits using a third-party administrator and stop-loss coverage for really big claims. Pretty standard practice nowadays.
Makes sense. What about managing the cash they do have on hand, investments?
The chief finance officer handles the investment portfolio. They pull unrestricted cash, mainly investing in time deposits and U.S. Treasury bills. Pretty conservative, safe stuff.
Safe is good for public money.
Definitely. And daily deposits are either FDIC insured or collateralized. So security is paramount.
Good.
They even have something called a reserve policy. It's informal, but the goal is to increase emergency reserves each year by either the CPI or 3%, whichever is greater, as funds are available.
Building a rainy day fund, essentially, shows foresight.
It does. It's about building financial resilience.
And speaking of oversight, let's talk accountability. Independent audits.
Required every year. State law, city charter, plus they meet federal Single Audit Act standards.
And they have a dedicated audit committee, 5 members.
Yeah, and the report emphasizes this committee ensures independence between the auditors and city management. That's key for unbiased review.
Crucial. But here's the really impressive part, I think, the GFOA certificate.
The Government Finance Officers Association Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting.
They've received it for the last 30 consecutive years.
30 years? That's incredible consistency. It's a prestigious national award, recognizes meeting the highest standards.
Seriously, maintaining that for 3 decades,
yeah.
It says so much about the people and the systems in place there, leadership, integrity.
Absolutely. It's not just a plaque on the wall. It signals real financial rigor year after year.
Okay, let's get into the actual numbers for 2012. The big picture comes from the government-wide financial statements.
Right, looking at everything together.
And one key measure is net assets. That's basically assets minus liabilities, right? What the city owns versus owes.
Correct. It's a snapshot of financial condition.
And the headline for fiscal year 2012, total net assets increased by a healthy 4.26%. Went from about $226.5 million up to $236.1 million.
Solid growth shows the city's overall financial position improved.
Yeah, it gives them more capacity. Breaking it down, governmental activities, think police, streets saw a 2.40% increase, about $2.3 million.
Yeah, okay.
But business type activities, utilities mostly increased even more, 7.17%, adding over $7.3 million to the net assets.
So both sides contributing positively.
Yeah, right. They report positive balances in net assets across the board. So overall, financially healthy at that point.
And what makes up those net assets? Where is the value held?
Good question. The vast majority, over 76%, is invested in capital assets. Land, buildings, infrastructure, roads, pipes, minus the debt related to them.
The physical stuff that makes a city work.
Exactly. About 7% is restricted, meaning it's tied up by external rules, like for bond payments or specific grants.
Can't be used for just anything.
Right. And the rest, the remaining balance, is unrestricted. Available for ongoing obligations, day-to-day needs, gives them flexibility.
Okay, got it. Now, drilling down into revenues and expenses, what's fascinating here is how the revenues really reflect that local economy we talked about.
How so?
Well, for governmental activities, sales and use tax, a big driver increased by almost $1.4 million in 2012.
Shows people were spending, businesses were active.
Precisely. And transfers from the SUA, the Utilities Authority, to the General Fund also went up by about $173,000. Another reliable income stream.
Okay, any shifts?
Yeah, property taxes actually decreased slightly, about $105,000. But investment income went up by almost $135,000.
So swings and roundabouts, but overall positive on the revenue side.
Definitely for sales tax. And looking at expenses, you see where the core investments are. Public safety, over $18 million. Streets and sewers, about $8.4 million.
The essentials.
Oh, absolutely. And it's interesting how they structure their sales tax. It's 3.5 cents total.
How's that split?
2 cents go to the general fund for operations. 1 cent gets transferred to the SUA, the utilities, as required by their bond agreement.
Okay. Dedicated funding for utilities.
And last 0.5 cent goes to the transportation fund. That's for voter-approved projects and paying off related debt. So voters have a direct say in that piece.
That's a clear structure. People know where the money's going.
Yeah. It promotes transparency.
Now, shifting to those business-type activities, utilities, the airport. You said they operate more like private businesses.
Right. They charge fees for services to cover their costs.
And how did they do in 2012?
Well, remember that big jump in net assets? A lot of that came from a significant $4.5 million increase in charges for services.
Why the increase?
Primarily due to rate increases for all utility services, electric, water, wastewater. They raise rates to cover costs and maybe fund improvements.
Necessary sometimes, even if not popular.
True. And the Stillwater Utilities Authority, the SUA, specifically looks really strong financially.
How strong?
Its net assets increased by $7 million. That's 6.14%. And check this out. It had an excess coverage of 577% for its revenue bond debt service.
Whoa, 577%. Meaning they brought in almost 6 times what they needed to cover their debt payments.
Exactly. That's incredibly healthy. Shows very strong financial management and performance by the utility.
Okay, so utilities are doing well. What about overall debt and capital investment?
The city's total long-term debt at the end of 2012 was around $38.7 million.
Okay.
But critically, they were also investing heavily in capital assets. Total capital assets, net of depreciation, increased by nearly $20 million just from 2011 to 2012.
So investing more than they were borrowing, perhaps, or just upgrading significantly?
Looks like significant upgrading in investment. Went from roughly $191 million to $211 million in net capital assets. That shows a real commitment to infrastructure.
Building for the future. What about the next year's budget, the 2013 outlook from this report?
The 2013 budget included a 3% cost of living increase for employees.
Good sign for city workers.
And capital spending was focused strategically. Public safety, infrastructure improvements, neighborhood street projects, even children's playground upgrades.
So targeted investments in quality of life and core services.
Exactly. Interestingly, though, the overall budgeted expenditures for 2013 were actually set to decrease by about 12.1%.
A decrease? Why? Cuts?
No, primarily because some big transportation projects funded in 2012 were finished. So it reflects the completion of major work, not necessarily scaling back ongoing operations.
Okay. Efficient project completion, then.
It seems that way.
All right, let's pivot now. We've talked a lot about the city itself, the primary government, and its blended units. But what about that discreetly presented unit, the Stillwater Medical Center Authority, SMCA?
Right, the hospital.
Remind us again, it's a component unit of the city of Stillwater, but presented separately.
Correct. Emphasizes its distinct legal and operational nature, even though the city is the beneficiary.
And it's vital, right? Provides a whole range of healthcare. Inpatient, outpatient, emergency, clinics, rehab, nursing, home health.
Covers the whole community's needs, basically.
So how did it fare financially in 2012?
Honestly, really impressive. Its net position, similar to net assets, increased by $15,373,168. That's a 17.7% jump in just 1 year.
17%. That's huge growth for a hospital.
It is. And it followed another strong year in 2011, where it increased by 16.6%. So a consistent pattern of strong financial growth.
What about profitability?
Also strong. Operating income was $12.85 million in 2012. And that came after a massive 113.9% increase in operating income the year before.
Wow. Okay. So they're running well in the black.
Definitely. And cash flow from operations was positive and increasing, too, up by $1.15 million in 2012, generating healthy cash from actually treating patients.
So what drove that performance? How did they boost revenue so much in healthcare, which can be tough?
Well, net patient service revenue increased by $7.1 million, or 7.6%, in 2012.
Okay, why?
Part of it was attributed to receiving about $4.5 million from something called the Supplemental Hospital Offset Payment Program, or SHRPP funds.
SHRPP funds, what are those?
They're designed to help hospitals that serve a large number of low-income patients, basically offsetting some uncompensated care costs.
Okay, so external support help.
Yes, along with standard price increases. And looking back at 2011, their growth was driven by more patients. Admissions up 3.9%, ER visits up 3.7%, births up 2.9%, and outpatient surgeries jumped 18.5%.
So more people using the hospital's services.
Definitely. Plus, other revenue increases came from Medicare and Medicaid incentive payments for implementing electronic health records, EHR.
Right, the move to digital records. Incentives helped push that.
Exactly. Now, on the expense side, things also went up. Salaries, wages, and employee benefits increased.
Why was that?
Partly due to pay, raises a 3% general increase plus market adjustments. Also, higher payouts from their self-funded health plan, and they increased staffing for therapy services, bringing them in-house.
Okay, investing in staff and services.
Right, and supplies and other expenses rose too.
Yeah.
Partly because they had to pay an assessment fee for those SHOPP funds. They received about $2.48 million paid out.
Ah, so the SHOP funds weren't entirely free money. There was a cost.
Correct. And just general increases in medical and drug supply costs, which is common in healthcare.
Makes sense. What about non-operating things, like investments?
That's actually another bright spot. Investment income saw a big rebound in 2012, increasing by $2.78 million.
Why the rebound?
Two main reasons. They had more money invested overall, and the investment markets performed better that year compared to 2011 when things were more volatile.
So good timing and good management of the reserves.
Seems like it.
Now, here's something else that caught my eye in their report. Investments in joint ventures. What's that about?
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. It shows strategic partnerships. They didn't try to do everything themselves.
Like what kind of ventures?
Well, they're part of Heartland Healthcare Reciprocal Risk Retention Group. That's basically a shared insurance pool for medical malpractice risk, likely with other hospitals.
Spreading the risks. Hard.
Exactly. They also had investments in Stillwater Medical Imaging, LLC for MRI and CT services, and Women First, LLC for mammography.
So partnering for specific high-tech services?
Right. And the report notes some of these are deeply integrated into the medical center's operations. They function almost like specialized departments, probably located right there, making it seamless for patients, but maybe sharing costs and risks.
That seems like an efficient way to offer comprehensive care.
It really does. Now, this raises an important question, I think. Beyond the bottom line, what's the hospital's community impact?
Right. Hospitals aren't just businesses.
Not at all. And SMCA demonstrates a substantial commitment to charity care and uncompensated care.
How substantial?
They provided over $6 million in free care to medically indigent patients in 2012 alone. Just wrote it off.
$6 million? That's significant.
And on top of that, they provide services to public aid programs, like Medicaid, which often reimburse less than the actual cost of care.
Mm-hmm.
That amounted to over $15 million in services in 2012, where they likely didn't cover their full costs.
So a huge commitment to serving everyone, regardless of ability to pay.
Absolutely. It really underscores their role as a community pillar, not just a healthcare provider.
Looking ahead, though, from that 2012 perspective, there were clouds on the horizon, right? Healthcare reform.
Yeah, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, the PPACA or ACA, was a major factor looming. It was set to impact Medicare, Medicaid, private insurance, established health insurance exchanges.
Big changes.
Huge. And at that time, Oklahoma hadn't opted to expand Medicaid under the ACA. The report notes the potential for a negative impact on the hospital's net patient service revenue as all these payment structures shifted. Uncertainty was high.
Understandable. Anything else?
Yes. A subsequent event mentioned something that happened after the 2012 fiscal year ended, but before the report was issued was sequestration.
The automatic federal budget cuts.
Right. That meant a 2% cut in Medicare reimbursement starting April 1st, 2013. The report warned it could have an adverse effect if it continued.
So even with strong 2012 results, they were facing future financial pressures from policy changes.
Definitely. The healthcare landscape was, and still is, constantly shifting.
So wrapping this all up, what does this deep dive really tell us?
Well, I mean,
taking Stillwater's city financials and the medical center's reports together, it paints a picture, doesn't it?
It really does.
A picture of a community that, at least in 2012, seemed physically strong, pretty thoughtfully managed.
Yeah, navigating some complex stuff. You've got the huge local economic driver of OSU's growth on one hand.
And then these broader national healthcare policy shifts hitting the hospital on the other.
Right. But through it all, you see resilience, you see strategic planning, and importantly, that consistent commitment to transparent financial reporting we talked about.
That GFOA award streak really stands out.
It does. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, that 30-year GFOA award run, it's more than just good accounting, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Well, what does that level of consistent, high-standard financial reporting imply about the long-term stability and the quality of leadership within a community? It suggests something deeper.
Right. Stability, competence, maybe predictability.
Exactly. And maybe the final thought for you listening is, how might understanding reports like these, even if they seem dense at first, empower you to ask better, more informed questions about your own local government? About the hospital down the street.
Yeah, knowing what questions to ask, what to look for, that's powerful.
It really is.
So if this deep dive has sparked more questions for anyone listening, or maybe you live in or near Stillwater and want more info.
Where should they go?
The city actually encourages you to reach out directly to their finance department. You can find their contact information right there in the official reports we've been discussing.
Good to know they're open to inquiries.
Absolutely. Transparency in action, hopefully.